Why are you doing that?
Well, we have some in a wetland in this area, and I'm just reviewing options.
Uh-huh. Are you part of a group that takes care of things like that?
Not really part of a group. Uh-huh. Part of a church that has some wetland, and my wife and I have been the most active people in terms of doing it. They don't really establish a group.
Uh-huh.
So it's my wife and I that are going out there either digging, cutting, or spraying the good things.
Oh, that's a lot of work. I've been a little bit involved with removing garlic mustard from the preserve in Picnic Point, which isn't really the same as the wetlands, but it's a lot of work to dig out invasives.
Well, it sure is, and if you get that good garlic mustard on you, and you're still in the sun, isn't that a wonderful experience?
Yeah. It's very true. Very, very true. So I guess I wanted to just ask you a few more questions about the gardens. You were actually the first person I interviewed about the gardens, and now I've done about 25 or so.
Good.
And because you were you were chairman at such a key moment in the garden's history, I wanted to just talk to you more about what it was like.
Okay.
You wrote me a little bit about what I said were negotiations, and you said was a very confrontational time with the university. And I was hoping you could tell me a little bit, describe more about what your meetings were like, either with the Garden Committee or with Dean Pound. And, I mean, how did you become chairman in the first place if it was your first year at Eagle Heights? What prompted you to take on that leadership role, I guess?
Back as to what the factors were at that point, and boy, mm-hmm. I'm not sure I can really come up with it, but there was a garden club organization that mm-hmm. was there, and in the time of the conversion, I frankly don't remember who was the previous chairman.
Mm-hmm.
My head says Barry Boomack, whom you've talked to, may have been. I know that he was very involved with the committee when I was involved with the committee.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start out as the head of the chair of the program. I simply was one of the people who spoke to trying to resolve this in a discussion method rather than confrontational method.
Mm.
So there was sort of a couple camps within the group. And so I was given the permission to take the negotiation side,
mm-hmm.
and several of us, and I frankly don't remember who else was in at that time,
mm-hmm.
Made the contacts.
Yeah.
The understanding was that if we were unsuccessful, then the other folks would have their way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like they were coming from different lifestyles or point of views, or just they wanted to go about this particular thing in a different way?
Well, I think point of view could be an expression to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
They had a point of view that, we ought to be able to stand up for our rights and for the things that are good for the students of the university.
Mm.
It's just, how do you stand up for the rights of the students of the university?
Mm-hmm.
And one's confrontational, and one is discussion and negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And two tools to accomplish the same thing.
Yeah.
Simply different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, how did you all identify the land that was owned by the College of Agriculture as the land that would be good for moving the gardens to? There wasn't any other open space around, or what made you think that field would be good?
Certainly this field was the closest area that was available. There
mm-hmm.
was another small area that was heavily bounded by trees, just... Get my direction straight, I think it's to the south of that field,
mm-hmm.
and that was a small, probably maybe 1 acre piece of land.
Yeah.
We didn't make any move in that direction simply because, number one, it was so shaded.
Yeah.
Number two, it was so small.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that is still present.
No, I think that's all wooded now, actually. I think I know where you're talking about, and it's become, it's all just woods now.
It's grown up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, at any rate, the this land was readily available. It was close to the student housing. You didn't have to drive to it.
Yeah.
And so from our perspective, it was a natural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Did you meet with Dean Pound in person? And could you describe any of like what it was like to meet with the university's
My recollection, and this is very vague, was that two or three of us went up and talked with Dean Pound and tried to make our case that this was of great value to the students and would the university, i.e. Department of Agriculture, release the land for this purpose.
Yeah.
He felt that the agriculture department also had a legitimate use for the land and indicated that, no, he didn't think that would be anything likely to happen.
And then when you did get the land, you had to sign a lease from them, it seemed stringent to me, some parts of it. One, the amount you had to pay for the land, but two, also, they were telling you had to plant in certain ways, and they almost kept some control. It was just for one. It was a yearly lease that you had to renew. Do you remember any?
Wow, have you found a lease or an agreement?
I found a letter from Dean Pound saying there these certain things that you would have to do if you were going to renew the lease every year. So I was just wondering, do you remember that at all?
I'm trying to probe what you have, because frankly, I do not remember a specific lease.
Mm.
I do not remember ever having any payments of money for the benefits.
Yeah.
And you say you have a document that says that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I don't remember that at all.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, it's, the gardens were paying, I think, $65 an acre for the College of Agriculture land, and you had to keep them free of weeds, or else the College of Agriculture would remove any would not renew the lease, and they were going to plow for you and do erosion control methods because it was on a hillside.
The end result after the negotiation stages was that, yes, they were going to do the contour-type plowing and that sort of thing, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I could well imagine that there was a fee for the purpose of their plowing and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And there may have been an assessment against each person, what the heck, $1 or $2 per lot.
Yeah.
Would meet $65 an acre thing. So, frankly, that's not a big part in my recollection.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And if you have the documents, I believe you. I don't remember.
Yeah. No, I'm it's interesting also to know what about the garden sticks with people most.
Sure.
And for you, it was... It seemed to be from when we last talked, it was when you moved the irrigation. Could you tell me about that again? So the weekend work day where you had to move the entire irrigation system.
By that time,
across the
room. Garden committee had evolved. I mean, we had obtained what we wanted by negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And since I, as I recollect, was more or less the head of the negotiation team, that's how I got to be Garden Club chairman.
Oh, okay.
And so it fell to me and a few other colleagues to, okay, let's coordinate this moving. And so then the old pipes, I guess maybe we did take some of those down, or they may have been set aside.
Mm.
I vaguely remember seeing piles of pipe that we had to bring over, physically bring over.
Yeah.
But the dismantling of the old garden, frankly, is not a big part of my recollection.
Mm-hmm.
My recollection was getting the pipes into the new area distributed so that there was appropriate faucet outlet within reasonable reach of each garden, which means lots of pipes going up and down. And we also had to take a what I recall is a 4-inch PVC pipe underneath the road through a culvert. And bring it up and tap into the fire hydrant. And we had permission from the city to open that fire hydrant and provide water to the gardens from there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I believe it was Barry Rumack who sent me a photo that he took of that, of the connection to the fire hydrant, which was really, it was neat to see through the pipe over, out of the top of the hydrant and how that worked.
And then we had to literally chisel holes through the concrete to get the pipe, the irrigation pipe, into the culvert.
How did you do that? You had, did you have tools?
Person two?
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's a lot of work. A lot of work.
Labor intensive.
So this it doesn't deal as much with your time as the committee on the committee or in the leadership role, but why did you garden? Why were you interested in gardening?
Oh, I guess I gardened literally from childhood, so that was a way of life of providing food. For us, we froze lots of our produce, did not can. But then that's what I grew up with. The family froze food from the gardens, and so I was simply continuing a lifestyle and way of providing food to the family.
Yeah.
At that point, we didn't have a lot of money for the family, so this was a very good resource.
Where did you grow up? Did you grow up on a farm?
I was in my 10th school in 9th grade, so we moved a lot.
Wow.
But my gardening was in the Wisconsin, Massachusetts, and Illinois areas.
Okay. Fascinating. That's really neat. There's something else connected to that that I've sort of forgotten. Oh, I also wanted to... Something that I've thought about since we first spoke was, you said that you'd been back and that you felt like the gardens didn't look as good or as well tended as they did when you were there. So could you tell me a little bit about, I mean, what it felt like to be in the gardens when you were gardening there versus when you returned and why they felt different?
Well, my interpretation was that we were a group of highly motivated people who had just obtained use of a lot of land, and so we valued it highly, and we were all pretty well motivated to keep that area clean and good shape. And, maybe it had to do with a contract that I don't remember that said if you don't keep them clean, hey, guys, you're going to lose it. And as I visited in subsequent years, probably 10, 15 years after that, I was impressed with, boy, they sure aren't maintaining nearly weed-free gardens anymore. So that was a statement of fact, an observation. These people have kind of grown up with it. It doesn't have the same, we fought for it and got it type of mentality.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much an evolution that goes on with societies in lots of situations.
I think you're right. I feel that a little bit in some of how my generation treats the things that we do have. We take things for granted, and it's not. We don't really realize what went into getting them.
But if you had to go out and get it, it would have greater value for you.
I think that's...
Okay. So that's a... fact of life or human existence, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I have any other questions for you right now. Oh, I guess I've also been curious about gardening practices, or what did, if there were chemicals used in the gardens then, if you remember a great diversity of plots, or if a lot of people were growing about the same things. Like, what did it feel like to be walking amidst the different plots? Do you remember that feeling?
And first few years, there was very little chemicals. We had a very rich field that was plowed into us. We had great soil. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to do anything to that soil.
No.
As you walk down the rows, however, you could say, okay, this is a person who comes from a dry climate.
Mm.
This is a person who comes from a wet climate. Because a dry climate person would make rows, hillock, down, as a row, and they would plant in the bottom of the row.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
People who came from wetlands put them on the top of the rows.
Yeah.
So you could see in the same field people bringing their techniques with them,
mm-hmm,
that they were used to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me they all did fine.
Yeah. Good Wisconsin agricultural land. It's hard to go wrong.
Yeah, this was soil when it was first tilled, and I, you know, frankly don't know what it is at this point, but the way it grows the crops when I was back there, and that's already, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, they were still growing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are. Even today they're growing beautifully. They're really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think people do take care of it. I mean, we have compost and leaf mulch and some lake weeds and things like that available to us. So people do put in those things to the soil, but
mm-hmm,
but it seems like it's going pretty well. Do you have any questions for me about the gardens now, or about how my research is going, which is slow but steady?
Well, I was curious how your paper was coming along, and just how you felt about the paper and the information that you got,
mm-hmm,
in your searches.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've enjoyed immensely talking to every single gardener that I've contacted. I think the gardens have changed a lot through the decades. This is actually their 50th anniversary. So they started in 1960. Mm-hmm. And so they've changed a lot. They're now, they're not plowed every year. They're perennial plots. They're all organic. There's a wider range of ages because it's not just students gardening there, but some community members who are actually more of the organizational memory, and they're actually more involved in the garden committee than any of the students are, which I think is an interesting social change that I'd like to try to tease apart that I haven't thought through completely yet. But it's just the warmth with which everybody remembers the gardens is really nice, and they feel like they're the same place even though they've changed a lot, just because it's the act of gardening sort of connects everybody through time, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it's going fine. I was thinking I'd try to be done and written by the end of the summer. It might be into next semester, but I'm planning on contacting everybody and letting you know that it's available to read and look at if you'd be interested.
These projects that don't have the set end point do tend to carry on.
They do. And I have a plot there. I'm on the garden committee. I've really become very engaged in the community and care a lot about that piece of land and the people that do things with it and have done things with it. So I feel very connected to it, and I want to write something that I am proud of and like and want to share with people. The other thing that I've done, and I almost forgot to ask you, I contacted the university archives, their oral history project, and have told them that I have this collection of about 30 interviews that I've done, and they're really interested in having the interviews available for other people to listen to and hear. And what I'm in the process of doing is contacting everybody that I've spoken to see if, and I have a a release sheet that they gave me if you would be willing to have your interviews archived in the university for the university historical uses. So I can email you the release sheet, but would that be something you'd be willing to do?
Sure, I have no problem with that. I vaguely remember some sort of a sheet or understanding agreement when you first started your interviews, but I don't remember exactly what that sheet was.
Yeah. The sheet that I sent you was you're agreeing to participate in my research. This sheet is a little bit different because it's asking you to I think it's signing away your rights so that other people can to this interview so other people can use it for their research or for their thing. But I'll send it to you so you can look at it.
No problem.
Okay. Great. Any more questions? Did I answer your question about where I was in my research?
I think so.
Okay.
Sounds like you've got your handle on it. You have some motivation there with your involvement.
I do, yeah.
It seemed that community people have sort of taken over the leadership.
But
as I think about it, you know, those are the people who are there for a period of years rather than just a couple of years of their schooling.
Yeah.
They might be, this is the way we've solved this problem, and so people start looking up to them.
Yeah, I think that is what happens. I think that's a longer institutional memory is really helpful in a place with so much gardener turnover, so that's really nice. Okay, well, thank you very much for talking with me again, Bob. This was, again, enjoyable.
Okay.
And I'll be in touch again.
All right.
Bye.